Our friend from Wired magazine, John Heilman, joins us to talk about this week's news. John joins us from NPR Studios in San Francisco. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine, as fine as I can be at this ridiculous hour of the morning.
It is early out there, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Well, John, once again, it's the economy. This week, the Federal Reserve cut interest rates by 0.5 percentage point, not the 0.75% that many investors had hoped for, and the markets responded with a big sell-off. Are we in for trouble here?
Well, it certainly doesn't look great. It's a kind of fascinating time right now. I think of this all in kind of personal terms. It's sort of the testing of Alan Greenspan. You know, for the last, he's been in office in his position now for 13 years, and it's amazing how much things have changed for him just in these last 6 months or so. He at one point, he could do no wrong, in the eyes of the markets, and now it seems like he can do no right. The economy has clearly slowed really dramatically. Everybody is worried that we're either already in recession or at least on the brink of recession. In the last quarter of 1999, we grew at 8.3%. In the last quarter of 2000, we grew by 1.1%. That's the most rapid year-on-year slowdown since World War II. The NASDAQ is down 60% since this time last year. Something like $5 trillion of investor capital have been lost. Greenspan's response has been sort of by the book. He's been making these kind of steady, relatively quick rate cuts, the quickest in his term so far, but they don't seem to be affecting anyone. And there's the sense that the three quarter of a point expectation was very much on the table, and yet the Fed walked away from it, but then signaled that it might cut rates again. And critics are asking, well, why, if you're going to cut rates again relatively soon, why not do it now, go for the big hit, and reassure the markets? Greenspan seems not to have been wanting to kowtow to those expectations, but the spiral continues downward, and it's really quite worrying.
And he seems to be kind of losing a few friends, that people who have supported him unquestionably over the past 5, 6, 7 years are now beginning to wonder a little bit.
Well, like I say, it's amazing. There was the cult of Greenspan, right? It was like there was a, you may remember Stephen Glass, the young New Republic writer who got caught for having fabricated stories. So one of the stories he fabricated was a story about how on Wall Street there were literally people who had shrines to Alan Greenspan. Now, that story wasn't true, but people believed it was true because it might as well have been true.
Right.
People really did believe that. Now you can't find anybody who's a friend of Alan Greenspan's on Wall Street or in the economic establishment. It's really quite astonishing.
Well, the folks on Capitol Hill have decided maybe they'd better take things into their own hands. And we hear in the Senate now about plans to invigorate the economy with a $60 billion tax cut above and beyond the Bush 10-year tax cut proposal. Senators are trying to get this money out this year in 2001. And the GOP and the Democrats seem united on this. Is this the beginning of the long-awaited bipartisanship?
Well, I'm not sure if it's the beginning of the long-awaited bipartisanship. There's still a huge number of details to be worked out. The Senate Republicans seem to have settled on this figure, $60 billion in short-term tax relief. But there are huge questions about exactly how to get that money into the hands of the people quickly and who's going to get it. No one's even begun to discuss that, whether that money is going to be distributed equally, whether it's going to be focused on lower-income recipients. That's certainly what the Democrats would like to see. This is the thing with tax cuts, right? I mean, always, even when you get bipartisanship on the big number, which you often don't, but even when you do get that kind of bipartisanship, the big question is how you actually slice the salami. And that we haven't seen. But it is remarkable, though, and it is a reflection of how much, going back to our first topic, right, how much there's a consensus that the economy really needs some help right now, that Democrats and Republicans are very quickly moving into this state of unanimous consent, in a way, on the subject that we need to do something and we need to do it fast.
Mm-hmm. Also on Capitol Hill, a debate continues on campaign finance reform. And the second-ranking Senate Republican, Don Nichols of Oklahoma, is saying he's now open to compromise. He wants higher caps on hard money. That's the money that goes directly to the candidates. Can McCain and Feingold and their supporters live with higher hard money caps?
Well, that's the question. It's been extraordinary, this week. This is the first of the two weeks that have been set aside to debate campaign finance reform. If you are If you have been following this debate over the years, I mean, it's sort of the debate that we've all really actually wanted to have for 20 years now. Essentially, the opponents of campaign finance reform have been able to keep a real debate from happening, and now the momentum is sufficiently, has you know, grew sufficiently behind McCain and Feingold that it's actually out there on the floor. And you know, you guys had an earlier segment today illustrating some of the kind of hilarity of what's playing out. There's a lot of incredibly intense emotion because, of course, the livelihood, you know, the money that is the lifeblood of politics is at stake. There is some sense that the momentum behind reform has really grown. This week, there were a series of amendments that were put forward that were really designed to kill reform. All of them were spurned. All of them were turned away. And even those who really don't want to see this reform go forward are starting to recognize that perhaps some form of reform is going to happen. And so the question is exactly what. And as you said, Senator Nichols now is talking about the question of whether they could live with the hard money, the soft money ban, if the hard money caps were raised. Now, he wants to raise those hard money caps a lot, raising individual contributions from $1,000 to either two or three, and then tripling perhaps the current caps on the total that an individual can give to all candidates and parties. That's 25,000 currently. Democrats think that's way too much. And again, as with the tax cut debate, the question really is, does lie in the details. So we're going to see a pretty furious debate, I think, on that. McCain has sort of suggested that he thinks that hard money caps are going to have to get raised. So he can live with a hard money cap increase. But the question is how much and whether or not the fact that the Democrats and McCain have been on the same side in this, whether that can hold when you get down to when you really get down to the details of the thing.
John, we got about a minute and a half left, and let's turn to some whiffs of the Cold War in Washington and Moscow. We got some strong reminders of the Cold War this week. The Bush administration expelled 50 Russian diplomats under the suspicion of espionage, and then on Friday the Russians retaliated. Expelling 50 American diplomats, all, of course, related to the arrest of double agent Robert Philip Hansen. How cold is it going to get?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, it's you know, there have been from the moment that George W. Bush came into office, there has been, you know, one of our favorite parlor games has been comparing the ways in which this new administration feels like the old administration. This is, in terms of hard policy, in terms of something that's actually happened as opposed to sheer atmospherics, this is the first, you know, one of the clearest sort of signs that of kind of the return to those earlier days. I mean, of a you know, I think it looks like and feels like very much the Washington of 1990 or 1989 or 1988 or even, you know, back further than that. But where there's still where the sense that, you know, there really is a degree of hostility that's being expressed between the diplomatic establishments of these two countries that hasn't been present for a long time. I actually wonder sometimes whether whether there's actually kind of going to be, you know, parades in the street in Washington over this, because, you know, the Cold War was so much, though it was a terrible fact of life for the countries at some level. It was also this kind of thing that was the sort of meal ticket, the bread and butter for so much of the foreign policy establishment. And I can't help but think, if you think of it, you can imagine them kind of rubbing their hands together in a certain sense that this may be on the way back.
Thanks very much, John.
Always glad to help.
Wired Magazine's John Heilman.